Today's shir is Masech to Babakam at Dav Vav. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Dav Vav and Aleph on the top line. The Mishnah said, Hatzad Tzavah Shebehem, what is the common denominator amongst all the various mazikim that have been mentioned in our Mishnah? Shadak and Lhazak, these are things that cause damage. Vishmiras and Alecha, and you're obligated, it's your obligation to make sure that they don't damage. And if they do damage, Chava Mazik, the person who caused the damage, must pay L'Shashlumei Tashlumei Nezek. They have to pay the damages B'meitav Oretz with the best property available. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah, by mentioning these words, wanted to teach us something. And therefore ask the Gemara, L'Suye Mai, what exactly is the Mishnah trying to teach us with these words? It says, Abaya, I'm Abaya. The Suya is coming to teach us, Avna Sakir and Masob. If somebody left a stone, a knife, a baggage, Shanichim Barash Gagoy, that he left them on the top of his roof, Vinaflu Beruach Matsuya, and in a Ruach Matsuya, they came, a wind that could be expected, came, Viziku, and they did damage. It says the Ra'ab that this halacha is only in a case that he left something on his roof, that under normal circumstances and the wind that to be expected on in the roof, this type of a wind will come and make it fall down. And now it falls on the floor and somebody trips on it. Then the halacha is that he's going to be chayiv. However, but let's say he says the wild wind was blowing this object that we're discussing, it did damage. So that's not what the Gemara is speaking about. He's saying, and in that case, you wouldn't be chayiv. You're only chayiv if you created a situation, according to the Ra'ah, where the wind put this object on the floor. And because the wind put this object on the floor, you're going to be held responsible for what the wind does. But if while it's flying, even though it does damage while it's flying in a wind that you could have easily expected, it's not going to be considered that you're chayiv. And of course, the Ra himself asks, why, if it does damage while it's moving, should it not be similar to Eish? He says you can't compare anything to Eish. Eish, he says, fire is something which is a dangerous situation, and therefore Eish is considered from its very inception as something dangerous. And yes, as the Mishnah says, and we're going to learn, I have learned, that Eish very much is connected to the Ruach Acheres, to the wind that moves it. Therefore, it's considered a mazik. A stone is not for itself a mazik. So yes, the wind blows the stone, and it's a wind that could have, it's a ruach mitzuya, it's a wind that that causes it to fire, to move, that doesn't make it into a mazik. However, the Rajba disagrees with the Ra. And the Rajba's opinion is that this would be considered a case of a ma, it would be considered a case of a ma, of Eish, if it's something that you left on the roof, and if it could be expected that the roof will, the wind will cause it to fly and move, and while the wind causes it to move, it will do damage. It will be considered a case of Eish. So ask the Gemara, before we go any further, Hey Chidami, what is the case that we're speaking about? Ibn Hadi Klazi Maski, Eish. Why is that not fire? Says the Gemara, Mashna Eish, the Koich Achim Uraboy, the wind makes it fly, and you should be held responsible. And therefore we have the machlokes umamanch v'shmaras alecha. And as I said a moment ago, what that it will be considered that you're chayiv, certainly in the case where the wind blew it down to the ground. And as we said, the machlokes Rashba and the Ra, if it's even while it's traveling, will it be considered Eish? So our Gemara just said, the fact that there's a Koyach Achim U'urabahen, that the wind coupled with this makes it propel, is a reason, makes it unique. There's interesting machlokes rishonim. If koyach acha ma'uraba is a reason to be lenient, was koyach acha ma'uraba a reason to be lenient? Tosfos says that koyach acha ma'uraba is a reason to be makel. It's not, and Tosfos' explanation is understandable, because it's not really that this is a mazik on its own. It's only a mazik because something else is involved with it. There are other rishonim say that it is a reason to be machmer koich achemurba, and the Rashba says we have to look in every situation. Elo, says the Gemara, we're speaking about a case bust of the Naichi. They fell on the ground. So ask the Gemara, Idaf Grinu, if they fell on the ground, Bein Rab Bein Shmuel, that's a case of bor. Because if somebody makes a bor in Rosh Hasharabim, then he's responsible. Maishna bor. Why is why would bar any be different? The bar is tchilas asiyas lanazak. It's something that would cause damage. Umishmaran chavishmaras alecha. It's considered your mamon. And as we've said many times in our shurim, it's not really your mamon. It's in the Rosh Hasharabim. But since you're the one that created the bar, so Tosfos and other Rishonim say, that gives it, according to the halacha, your, as is considered as if it's yours. Haninami, these are the kind of things that can do damage. And therefore you should be responsible. El the life grino. We have to say that you weren't mafkadis objects. So says the Gemara, we've spoken about this. According to Shmuel, kulami barlamanu, it's still considered a case of bar. So hanu bar. So why do we need to have a new words for the Mishnah to teach us that you will be responsible? Says the Gemara, Loilam Daf Grino. Yes, you were mafkirim. But still says the Gemara, the loy dama labar, they're not similar to a bar. Because malabar, when we speak about a bar, ain't koich achimurabar. You dug a bar in the Rosh Hasharabim, and now you're responsible. Time Bahani, when we speak about the cases that we started the shiur with, where it wasn't just that you dug something and it created damage, the Koyach Ma'acher, there was the wind that had a very significant contributing factor. Koyach Acher Morbehem, to which the Gemara says, Eish Techiach, for we'll use Eish. Because Eish also, as we just finished saying, is something that Koyach Acher, is also something that we just said always works because of koich achim be'orben. But what are you going to say? Mal eish, shekein da'ak leilich lahazik. Fire's property is that it constantly is on the move. Bar techiach. Bar doesn't go anywhere. V'chazar adeim. This is what's known as a tzad shava. And whenever we have a tzad shava, the halach is that we can learn this case from a combination of eish and bar, that this should be considered a mazik. So here we have a very big machlokes rishonim that the Rosh quotes. The Rosh says, that discusses that we've learned as recently as our previous year, there are certain rules that only apply by bar v'loy adam, bar v'loy kelim. There are certain halachas that apply by eish, that eish, the halacha is eish v'loy atomen, as we also learned in our previous year. When we speak about this new mazik that we discussed now in our shir, Avnoi Sakinoi Masar Shenicha Barosh Gagoi, which we identify now as being a mazik because it's a combination of bar and eish, will it have the halachas of bar? Will it have the halachas of eish? Or will it have the halachas of both? So the Rosh says that it'll have the halachas of bar. Eish is only used here that since the Gemara said it's not perfectly similar to bar, and therefore since it's not perfectly similar to bar, maybe it should not be considered bar. So the eish comes to help us that it's enough that it will still be considered bar. The Yam Shishloima disagrees. And the Ram Shishloima says, as the Gemara clearly just taught us, if we just had bar, this case could not be learned from bar. And the only reason we're able to call this a mazik is because we have eish as a mazik. And therefore, without the eish, it's not a mazik. And therefore, since it's learned through a combination of bar ve'esh. The halach it is, it has all the rules of both bar and esh. Says the Brisk Rav, I don't understand the rush. The Yam Shishlaima seems to be 100% correct. The only reason this is a mazik is because I learned it from a combination of bar and esh. So how could the rush exclude the esh element from the slimut? So the Brisk Rav says a beautiful vart. The Brisk Rav says, as we said a moment ago, we learned in our previous year, what is one of the unique halachas of esh? One of the unique halachas of esh is esh v'loy tomen, that something that's hidden, you're not chayv for esh on it. So the Brisk Rav tries to understand, when the halach is that esh v'loy tomen, what does that mean? That when something was tomen, and esh affected it, esh damaged it, it didn't do hezek? Of course that's not true, says the Brisk Rav. The reality is that if esh did damage to something which is tamen, it did the damage. We can't disagree with that reality. There's a new pasuk, there's a new gzeres akosef, says the Brisk Rav, that says that even though it did damage the tamen, and even though therefore you ought to be responsible, esh v'loy tamen says that you will not be held responsible. But you're a real mazik. So when it's a pure esh, so there is a gzeres akosef that says that you're not chayiv for tamen by esh, even though there's no reason without that special pasuk that you should not be held responsible. You really should be held responsible. Your esh created that damage. So here, where you have the bar included as part of the limud, so what the bar limud does, according to the Rosh, explains the Brisk Rav, it says that the special leniencies that are not even necessarily understandable by Eish will not apply here, and that you will be considered chayiv for the tamen, because the bar part of it makes you chayiv. So the way I understand what the Brisk Rav means to say, it's not that you're not relying on Eish. That the whole halacha that you're not chayiv for tamen be'esh represents a chiddush, and since it represents a chiddush, the chiddush is only there when it's a pure case of esh. When it's not a pure case of esh, then it will be chayiv for tamen. Says the Gemara, Rav Amar. We go back to the beginning of the shir. Where beginning of the shir, the Gemara's question was that the Mishnah added the words Hatzad Shavu Shebehen, and the Gemara wanted to know what does that come to teach us. So says Rav Amar, it's coming to teach us the case Lasuya Baram Zgalgal Baragli Adam Baragli Behema. If there's somebody left a stone in the Shusarabim, and while it's where it was originally, it didn't do any damage, but then people or animals walked and they caused the stone to move, and when the stone moved there in the new place, it did damage, somebody tripped on it. Says the Mara, exactly, hey Chidami, what is the example? Idef Grinu, if the person was mafka that stone, so again, Bein Rabbi and Shmuel, Haina Bar, that's a case of Bar. Maishna Bar, why is this any different from any case of Bar, says the Gemara. Maishna Bar, she came with Chilasa Siyosla Nezek, it's meant, it's there that it could do damage. Mishmaras Alecha, you're responsible. Haninami, you leave a stone and there's just Rabbim, they can do damage, and you will be responsible. El, says the Gemara, the life grinner, you weren't mafgrit. But says the Gemara, Shmuel teaches us, kulam mibar lamanu, that even when you weren't mafgrit, it's still considered bar. So why isn't this case a bar? Says the Gemara, you were mafgrit. But why is it not considered like a bar? Loi dami labar, it's not a perfect comparison to bar. Because ma labar shekane, massive garmaloi. You dug the pit. And since you dug the pit, that's why you're going to be held responsible. Tama bahani, when you put something in the shusarabim, and then it got kicked around, shame massive garmaloi. If the stone would have been left where you put it, it wouldn't have done any damage. The damage only occurred because it wasn't where you originally put it. Shor Yechiach. Because when we speak about a shor, the shor isn't start where it was originally, and still you're responsible. Majl shor. But when we speak about a shor, shekein dakalech lahazik. An animal moves and does damage as it moves. Bar techiach v'chazadein loy rizeh kerei zeh v'loy rizeh kerei zeh. So the Rishonim ask, the same limud that the Gemara has could have been achieved. The Gemara learned this case as a combination of bar and shor. Why can't we learn it as a combination of bar and esh? And the Rishonim say, the Shita quotes Rabbeinu Yeshaya, that yes, we could have learned it as a combination of bar and esh as well. This, he says that since shor is the first mazik that's mentioned in the Mishnah, so the Gemara says right away from the first mazik mentioned in the Mishnah, shor, we could learn this case. But we could have learned it from them together as well. Here we learn a very interesting case, a very interesting halacha, that in all these cases, an important part of the halacha is that it's something that you should have expected to happen. Ruach metzuya, when you leave something in the Rishus Rabbim, it makes sense that a wind's going to come, it makes sense that people are going to kick it, and it may end up in a place that it could do damage. What's the halacha if you leave something in a place where right now it doesn't do any damage? But if you leave it there long term, then it can do damage. The Shevet HaLevi, Rav Elzner Zatzal, Chelek Aleph Simen Shen, Chelek Ches, Simen Shen Tazvav, discusses that if somebody has a pail on his porch and he leaves it there and he lets rain fall on it, obviously it's a very large pail, and when it gets full of rain, then it becomes so heavy it could cause the porch to collapse and do damage. It normally doesn't rain that much. Or, he says, let's say you see that there's a storm coming. So since you see that there's a storm coming, in a storm, we know there's going to be a lot of rain. So does that change the reality? In other words, his question is that an important part of all of these discussions, as we've been saying, is the Ruach Metzuya element. If something is not Ruach Metzuya, it's not normal, it's not usual that this would happen. But here, there's something unusual going to happen, but you're aware that that unusual occurrence is going to happen. Will that make it into Ruach Metzuya that you should be responsible or not? And his position is that if it's something that you were aware of, and therefore you should be paying attention that this is what happens by such circumstances, that when there's going to be a huge storm, this is not normal to happen, then it's considered a pshia if you ignore that eventuality. And therefore, he says, you would be chayiv under those circumstances. Again, says the Gemara, we're going back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah taught us these cases. The words of Tzadah Shavah Shabahen, and the Gemara is trying to understand what is it coming to teach us. Says the Gemara, Rav Adi Bar Havama, L'suya HaDetanya, Kol Eile Sha'amru, all the cases that Chazal taught us, the Loch is Poiskin B'Bimseyim. They allow people to open up their leaders to let the water, the sewers, the water, to go into the Shus Rabim. The guard from Mariseim, they're allowed to let the waste go out to the Shus Rabim. But Mois Hagachama, in the summer, Eilem Rishus, they may not do so in the summer because the streets are nice and clean and dry, and therefore you have no right to cause damage to your street. But Mois Hagishamim, but in the winter, where the street are not clean anyway, Yeshlem Rishus. But says the Gemara, Apishim Rishus, even though you had every right to open up your leaders and gutters and sewers to open up to the Shus Rabim, that doesn't give you a right in Meziku Chayovim L'Shalim. And I saw that Dilvosh explains that this halacha, that one is allowed to do so, is a special rule that Yeshua instituted, that Yeshua instituted, that this is good for the public welfare. And since it's good for the public welfare, the halacha is you're allowed to do it. But even though you're allowed to do it, that didn't exempt you, says the Levush, from responsibility. Yeshua said you could take it, you could let it go into the Rishus Rabbim, but you will be responsible. And there's two ways of looking at it. One way, and it goes back to what we discussed a number of times already in our Shurim. What does that mean? Does it mean that Shmuel said that Shmirasan Alecha, that even though I'm allowing you to let it go out, but Shmirasan Alecha, I'm not absolving you, I'm not exempting you from responsibility, and therefore, if it did damage, you're going to be held responsible. That's one way of learning. Or the other way of learning is that it's still yours. And since it's still yours, when you're with something that belongs to you does damage, you will be chayiv. Again, the chakira that we discussed many times. So ask the Gemara, hey chidami, exactly what is the case that Rav Ahav is discussing? If they did damage as they were going out, so then koichu, it's considered you opened up to let this water go into the Shus Rabim, so it's considered that you actually did the hezek. Why would that? What's the chiddush? Of course, you're chayiv. Ella, bas the naich. The water went into the Shus Rabim, and after went into the Shus Rabim, so it did damage. Hey chidami. So again, ask the Gemara the same question. Hey chidami, what is exactly the case? Either naich, but. If the person was mafker, what goes into Rosh Rabim? So ask the Gemara, Bein Rabbein L'Shmuel, Hayna Bar, that's an example of Bar. Or Maishna Bar, because why would this be any different than Bar? Bar is something that's Chlosu L'Nezek, U'mayinch V'Shemras Alecha, Haninami, Chlosu N'Siyas L'Nezek, U'mayinch V'Shemras Alecha. Ella, we're going to have to explain that speaking about a situation, the Layaf Grinu. So ask the Gemara, according to Shmuel, Kulme Bar L'Madnu, Hayna Bar. Says the Gemara, Loilam Dafkirna, it was Mafkarit, but it's not completely similar to Bar. Loi Dami Labar. Malabar, Shekain, Shalai Brishus. Somebody who goes and digs a Bar in the Shus Rabim had no right to do so. Tyron Bahani, when, as we just said, Yeshua gave them the right to let this go into the Shus Rabim. And since Yeshua gave them the right to let it go into the Shus Rabim, you should not be held responsible. What are we going to say? Shar yichiach. That we'll learn from Shar. That a Shar has a right to walk in the Shus Rabim, but if it does damage, you will be responsible. What are we going to say? Mal Shar shekein dark leilach lahazik. This is not dark leilach lahazik. It doesn't necessarily going to do damage. It doesn't usually, in fact, do damage. Bar techech. V'chaz adein. We learn it from a combination, of Bar and Shar. The Rif says, when he learns, quotes the Salacha, says that if an animal does damage while it's walking the Shus Rabim, we've learned previously, you will not be held responsible. Because the Torah says, Obir b'steyacher. Only if the animal walked into somebody else's property will you be held responsible. Here, the animal did not walk into somebody else's property, and therefore you're not held responsible. So, says the Rosh, what will be the halacha if an animal were walking the street, bangs into a stick that's sticking out from somebody's yard and causes damage to the yard? He's not responsible. Why? Because as we just said, the Gemara says that an animal has every right to walk in the street. And since an animal has every right to walk in the street, when the animal was walking in the street and it caused damage, even though the damage ultimately emanates from somebody's property, it doesn't make a difference because the animal didn't do anything wrong in walking in the street. The Rosh quotes Tosfos, who disagrees with the Rif, and says, since this damage emanated from the Nizik's Rishus, the animal will be chayiv, the owner of the animal. So says the Rosh, let's look in the Gemara. The Gemara just says that in contrast to the mazik bar, which is created through somebody doing something wrong, you're not allowed to dig a pit in the Rishus HaRabim. Bar was, shor is not created that way, because the animal has every right to walk in the Rishus HaRabim. So what do we see? That even though the animal had a right to be walking where it's walking, says the Rosh, we see that you're still going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara. Ravina Amar, Ravina says that what's it coming to teach us? L'suya ha'detanan. It's coming to teach us a case that we learned in the Mishnah, in Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, O'y kaysav ha'ilin sh'nafal l'shus rabim. If a wall or a tree fall into Rishus Rabim, physically they did damage, whether they did the damage as they're falling, whether they did damage after they fell, potel milshalim. The owner is not exempt. And the reason that you're not, that the owner is not obligated, because he's an onus. This is something they could have never anticipated, that his wall is going to fall. However, if there was a case where they saw that the wall was not in good shape, and they gave him Nosn Lozman. They told him, within 30 days, you have to take down this wall. Nosn Lozman, Lokat Zeilin, Listus Akoyosel, V'nafel V'toich Azman, Potter. Because again, he didn't do anything wrong. The time that he has to remove them didn't yet come. Ach Azman, Chayiv. So again, asking Marhechid, I mean, what exactly is the case? Ida Afgarob, if he was Mafgar, that wall and that tree. So, of course, Ben Rabbi and Shmuel Hain Bar. Or my Shna Bar. Why is this Bar? The Zekim Matzah, Vishm Rasan Alecha, Hani Nami, a tree, a wall in the Rosh Hashanah has Zekim Matzah. It's common that people will fall on them. Shm Rasan Alecha. Vida Lefkarenu, the Shmuel Dama Kulam, Ibar Lamadnu. So why isn't this a case of Bar? Answers, the Gemara Lalam Lefkarenu. You were Mafkarit. However, says the Gemara V'loy Domi Labar, it's still not the same as bar. Malabash can't chlas osiyas l'nezik. When you dig a bar, as we've been learning, a bar, pits in Rosh Hashanah are dangerous. Time Bahani, when you put up a wall, when you put up a tree, shain't chlas l'nezik. To which the Gemara says, we learn from Shor. Malashor shekain dark lech l'hazik. It wasn't meant to do hazik. It has every right, as we just said, that to be there. Yechayiv. But this isn't Dakalel Chlahazik. And therefore we learn it from a combination. So Tosis asks, why are you chai for bar? If somebody, a bar, from when the bar was dug, you chayif. In this case, when you put up the tree, you didn't do anything wrong. And when the tree or the wall fell down, you didn't cause them to fall down. So why is that comparable to bar? So Tosfos says, a very bechiddush. Tosfos says that you're not picking up your tree when you should have picked up your tree, says Tosfos, is the equivalent to having made a bar. So Tosfos is saying a very bechiddush. It's not only when you actively dig a bar is it considered a bar, but even in a case where you didn't pick up what you should have picked up, and it could cause damage. That too, says Tosfos, it would be considered a case of bar. So here we learned that if somebody was told, make sure that your wall, your tree, is cut down within a certain time, and then you didn't cut it down within the time that you were allotted, and it then causes damage, then the halacha is that you will be held responsible. So the Sefer Mishpatei HaTorah discusses the following situation. He discusses a situation where two partners own such a wall, two partners own such a tree. They were given the time to take it down. And what happened was the two partners made up between themselves that they're going, that one of the partners is going to take it down. And that partner was negligent and did not cut down the tree, take down the wall within the latter time. The wall fell, the tree fell, and it did damage. And now, as our Gemara just told us, the person that will be held responsible. So the question is, who will be held responsible? Will both partners who own this tree be held responsible? Or will only the partner who was supposed to take care of it and didn't take care of it be held responsible? So he goes into a very interesting discussion, and he says that under normal circumstances, in order for a transaction to be considered halachically valid, you have to have a kinyan. So the question here is, and as we always explain, what is the reason that the Chazal was so concerned about a kinyan? Because a kinyan, says the halacha, shows an seriousness of intent. Without that act of kinyan, we don't really know that there was a seriousness of intent in this situation. So if that's the case, we need that to understand that these two partners that agreed between themselves that one of the partners is going to take care of this tree, of this wall, they didn't make a kinyan. They just arranged between themselves that that's what they're going to do. So will we say that the fact that there was no kinyan here is going to say that doesn't absolve the partner? He is a partner. He was given warning to take down your tree, and he didn't, and he therefore should be held responsible. Or he could make a very strong claim. I was relying on my partner who said that he'll take care of it. And since my partner said that he's going to take care of it, why should I be held responsible? So he says a very big chiddush. He says that when one partner agreed to take care of this, how does the halacha look at that situation? He says the way the halacha looks at that situation is that one partner was meichel, the other partner. The partner who said that I'll take care of it, what he really was saying is that I will take care of it and you do not have to take care of it. Even though normally, as we just said, halacha requires that transactions be accompanied with a kinyan, mechila, being meichel for something, doesn't require a kinyan. And here, he says all that really happened was that one partner was meichel the other partner. And the fact that he was meichel the other partner, that's considered that the partner that doesn't have to take care of it isn't held responsible. There's an interesting shayla that he also discussed. What will be the halacha if somebody has a tree that overhangs into the Shusha Rabbim and he didn't cut off the fruits that grow grow from the tree, and then that tree overhangs from his property onto the Shusha Rabbim. Fruit from that tree fell down in the Shusha Rabbim, and slipped on that fruit and got hurt. Will the owner of the tree be chayiv? So he says that this is certainly a situation of bar b'shus rabim. Letting your fruit of your tree fall into the shus rabim is considered as if it's yechayiv. And even though there's a question, he says, would a person walking into the Shus Rabbim be allowed to pick up that fruit? Is it considered hefker or not? He says, whether the halacha is that somebody walking can't take that fruit, or whether the halacha is that somebody in the Shus Rabbim may not take the fruit, it's still no different than a bar b'shus rabbim. Why is it no different than a bar b'shus rabbim? Because a bar b'shus rabbim, whether I'm allowed to dig it or whether I'm not allowed to dig it, I'm responsible for the damage it does. This is no different. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Shchizik have a mazik. When he does damage, the mazik has to pay. Says the Gemara, the right wording of the Mishnah should not have been chava mazik, chayva mazik meboilei. It should have said chayva mazik. Answers the Gemara, Amar Yudah Marav, Hai Tana, the Tana that taught our Mishnah, Yerushalmihi, was from Yerushalmi, who was Yerushalmi, and in Yerushalayim, they learned a Lashon Klila. In Yerushalayim, they were much more concise with their words. And since they were concise with their words. Instead of using the word chav, chayiv, they use the word chav. And the way I saw that the Mefarshim explain the Gemara is based on a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deis, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet, says v'chein b'divrei Torah u'b'divrei Chochma. When people are saying divrei Torah and divrei Chochma, yiyu divrei Adam ma'atim. A person should be limited with his words. V'yonei merabim, there should be a lot of depth in what he says, but there shouldn't be a lot of words said. V'hu shetziv v'chacham v'amru. This is what exactly Chazal teach us. Lo'olam yishana Adam l'talmidoi derech tzara. A person should always speak in the most concise manner. Yushalmi, who were known for their wisdom, spoke in such a fashion. They spoke in the most concise manner possible. And there's a beautiful vart from the Verker Rebbe. He says, Rashi, often in the Chumash, says, Kol teva shetzricha lamed betchilosoi, hitalei kosev hei besoifei. In other words, you could get the same definition of a word in one of two ways. You could put a lamed at the beginning of that word, or you could put a hey at the end of the word. And the Gemara, Rashi says that the Torah prefers to put the hey at the end of the word. And the question is, why? If you're going to accomplish and you're going to get the same meaning anyway, so what's the difference if the lamed at the beginning of the word or the hey at the end of the word? You accomplish the same. So the Verker Rebbe said, it's based on what we just learned. You always want to be as concise and not say something unless you actually must say it. So if you have a choice, you could say the lamed at the beginning of the word, or you could say the hey at the end of the word. It's better to, if you could avoid saying something, avoid saying it, and therefore put the hey at the end rather than putting the lamed at the beginning. I also saw there was once a din Torah, two litigants came to the Ragged Shover with a question. And the Ragged Shover, we know, was a tremendous masmid, and he was in the middle of learning Yerushalmi. And when these two people came to ask him a question, he really didn't have patience to spend time with them. We know that in the city of Dvinz, there were two great Gadol Yisrael. There was the Ragged Shover and Rameya Simcha, the Ar Sameach. So after they left the Ragged Shover's home and they were disappointed that the Ragged Shover didn't really give them time of the day, they came to the Ar Sameach and they were upset that this is what happened. So the Ar Sameach took out Al Gemara. And Al Gemara says that instead of using the word chayiv, the Gemara said the word chav. So, and the Gemara says, why was that done? Because the Gemara is a Yerushalmi. So it says what the Ragged Shover did was he did, since he was learning Yerushalmi, he did exactly what the Yerushalmi does. The Yerushalmi took out two yuds. The difference between the word chav and the word chayiv are two yuds. So since he was learning Yerushalmi, he sent away the two yuds. He didn't have patience to talk to you. But I saw that the Paris Yosef explains what's the difference between the halachic difference between the Gemara says chav, when the Gemara used the word chav hamazik or chayiv hamazik. So he says that in certain cases, the halacha requires that you have to pay even if you're not sued. And in certain cases, you're obligated to pay only if you're sued. So he wants to suggest that chav hamazik means that you're obligated to pay even if you weren't sued. If it would have said chayiv hamazik, it would seem that if you did damage, you're only responsible to pay if you are sued. So says the Mishnah, the word chav hamazik, to teach us that you're going to be responsible no matter what. And what do you have to pay? The shalom teshlumei nezik, we learned from the Mishnah, meitav ha'aretz. So says the Gemara, where do we learn that you pay meitav? Meitav, as we explained and will continue explaining, means idjus, the best. Where do we learn this from? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, meitav sadeu, meitav karma yishalim. But now the question is, when we speak about meitav, what does meitav mean? The best property that is owned by the Mazik, the one that did the damage, was Meitav that belongs to the Nizik. Says the Gemara, Meitav Sadeh Shal Nizik, or Meitav Kamer Shal Nizik, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says we look at it from the Nizik's perspective. Rabbi Kiva Amaloi Ba, Kosov El Ligvas Nizikin Mena Ijis, that you pay Nizikin Mena Ijis. We don't know exactly what Rabbi Kiva means. And then Rabbi Kiva makes another statement, which we don't know what exactly means. So Gemara begins. So first the Gemara assumes that you always pay from the best property that the Nizik has. So asking, well, what does that mean? If the animal ate very valuable property, you pay the value of a very expensive piece of property. If he ate a weak row of property, should he still have to pay Meitav? The animal, the mazik, ate one of the rows of the field. How we do not know what was the value of that row? And Shmuel is telling us the shalom shmeina, you pay the value of the most expensive row. Ask the Gemara. Amarava, ma ilu yadin the kechush achos. What would be the halacha if we know for certain that the animal ate a weak row? So the halacha is, you mishalom, everybody agrees, you only pay according to the damage. Mishalom el kchusha. So ask the Gemara, hash to the lo yadina, now that we don't know the value, ik kchusha achal, ishmena achal, mishalom ishmena, why would you pay the shmena? Isn't there a rule throughout Shas that and until you could prove that I owe you more, I don't have to pay more. Elamarav Achra, Kaikh my skinin, Machloks Rishmol and Rakiva is not regarding what type of property I ate. That is not the question. What the question here was Idyas the Nizik is Kizburius the Mazik. The Idyas of the Nizik is worth as much. The Mazik has much better properties, and the Nizik has very poor properties. And the Nizik's best property is the equivalent of the Mazik's poorest property. And now, says the Gemara, about Pligi, this is what they're arguing about. Rishmosov, Ben the Nizik Sheminin, we give Idyas. And if the Mazik's poorest property is equivalent to the Nizik's Idyas, that's all he has to pay. But the Mazik Sheminin, we look at what is the best property that belongs to the Mazik. Ask the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Shmuel. What does Rabbi Shmuel say that we evaluate based on the property of the Nizik? Answers the Gemara. Says Rabbi Shmuel, Neman Sada Lamata, the pasuk that we've been discussing, which speaks about the payment that you have to pay, says, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Karma Yishalim. Neman Sada Lamala, that's what the Torah talks about, the actual act of Hezek. In that Pasuk, when the Pasuk says the word Sada, it clearly is referring to the property of the Nizik. So says Rabbi Shmuel, so I say that when the Pasuk says Meitav Sadehu, Af Sada Amalamata, it means the Nizik. Rabbi Kiva, who says Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmai, refers to the Mazik. How does he come to that? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmi Yishalmei. What does that mean? The Hach, the Kamishalim, the one that's paying, we should use, he has to pay with his best, to his best, from his best property. Rishmol, how could the Gzeri Shava take away the Posh, the Pshat in the Pasuk? Says the Gemara, says, I'm not looking to disturb the simple pshat in the pasuk. I'm using both. The gzeir shava, Rav Shmuel says, as we just said, the gzeir shava teaches us that when we come to evaluate, but the nizik sheminin. The hanikra, what does the pasuk come to teach us? In a case, going to islay lamazik, the mazik has two properties. He has an idyas, he has a very good property. And he has a zaburius, a very poor property. The idyas l'nizik, and the nizik has one property. it's not as good as the Nizik's, as the Mazik's Idyas, but it's better than the Mazik's. It's better than the Mazik's Zaburius. Zaburius the Mazik, Loy Shavya Ke Idyas the Nizik. The Idyas of the Nizik is better than the Zaburius of the Mazik. So now he doesn't have any, there's no perfect match. The Zaburius is less, the Zaburius of the Mazik is less, and the Idyas of the Mazik is better. That the Halacha says, the Mishamleim and Meitav of the day. Then in such a case, you pay for the Meitav of the Mazik. The Loyamatsi Amalei, that the Mazik cannot tell the Nizik, Ta'at Govi Mizaburius, take from my Mizaburius. I'm not obligated to give away my best property. No. The Halacha is Govi Meitav. Since he only has two properties, and his inferior property is more inferior than the Nizik's property, than the Nizik's property, he can't get away with paying with that property. He'll have to pay with his better property, even though it's worth more than the Nizik's property.